Today's daf is Lamed Dalet, but we are going to go back to Lamed Aleph Amud Bet and start at the very bottom for a minute. We're just going to go there for a minute to see, because that's going to lead into what we're going to do today. There was a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masechet Makot. Okay, on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet, Ureminhu. Okay, so if you remember, our Mishnah listed the people who get knas, and there was a list of Haba Alachotov, Alachot Aviv, etc., etc. And that same list of people, okay, which means they pay knas, that same list of people comes up in the Mishnah in Makot as a list of people who get Malkot. Okay? Or a minu. Eluhen alokin. Haba alachotov, alachot aviv, alachot imo, alachot ishto, alachotachiv, alachotachiv aviv, valanida. Okay? Now, Kaimalan, the Gemara says, we know at the top of Lama Ben Amud Aleph, de'eno loke umeshalem. Okay? We know that you can't get both. So how could they be listed as these people get Malkot? And how could it be listed as these people pay Mamon? How could that be? So two answers were given in the Gemara before, and the last answer was on Gimel Lamed Bet, which we'll start from there. So the first answer is Ula, right there on Lamed Bet Amud Aleph. He says, Lo kasha kam bachoto na'ara, kam bachoto bogeret. He says, our Mishnah is a na'ara case. In that case, you pay Mamon. In the Malkot case, you get Malko because she's a Bogeret, and we already said in the beginning that a Bogeret, there is no Knas. So if there's no Mamon, well then you get the Malko. So this is a case of Kim Lebe Derab Amine, and according to Ula, okay, this is Ula, he holds that when there's Mamon and Malko, what do? You pay Mamon. Mamon is greater than Malko, basically, you'd have to say according to Ula. Okay, and therefore, only when there's no Chi of Mamon do you get Malko. Okay, that's Ula. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree with that. He thinks that Malkot is greater than Mamon. Okay, and therefore, if it's a case of fight between the two, you know, you're going to get the Malkot. And then he explains, okay, his answer is on here. The next page, Lamed Bet Amud Bet, okay, line 5. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu tema achoto na'ara, kan shehitrubo, kan shelo hitrubo. Okay, now, he says, you can only, this is interesting, if you talk about Hatra'a, okay, we started before class talking about it, when do you get warned, okay, there's a shanstein here if you want, when do you get warned, when do you get a punishment, Mamon, you can pay even without a warning, okay, so if there was no warning, you can't get a punishment that affects your body, okay, which would be Malkot or Mita for all intents and purposes. So Malkot, we're going to say, is only when you get a warning, when Hitrubo. So if they warned him, he's going to get the Malkot. But in a case where they didn't warn him and there is no Malkot, because again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Malkot always overrides Mamon. So in the case where there's no warning, well, then there's no Chi of Malkot. So once there's no Chi of Malkot, then you can pay the money. Okay, those were the two resolutions to the contradiction between the Mishnah in Malkot and the Mishnah here, where again the Mishnah in Malkot said you get Malkot for it. The Mishnah Aris Mishnah said you pay money. How could you do both? So they each find a case where you wouldn't be both, and depending on what their take on whether Mamon overrides Malkot or Malkot overrides Mamon, that's going to affect what they say. Those were two answers given. Now we're going to go all the way to our issue. Okay, we're going to start on Lamed Gimel Lamed Bet. I felt like I couldn't start anywhere else, so we'll start here. We'll see how far we get into today's daf. There's two dots about 20 lines or 15 lines from the bottom, somewhere between 15 and 20, I would say. It says, Vinikami Galukasha is the end of the line, is the beginning of the line. Yeah. Rish Lakish Amar. Okay, here's a third resolution to this problem. Okay, Rish Lakish is going to have a third opinion. Hamane Rabbi Meir hi damar loke umeshalem. This is going to match, okay, well, he says this is all according to Rabbi Meir, who says loke umeshalem. Okay, so you're going to do both. Okay, and therefore, what are they going to say? You get loke umeshalem. Okay, he has this opinion, it comes up in Makot in the Mishnah, that in a typical Edim Zomimim case, right, where you have to pay money, you both get Malkot and you pay the money. Okay, so he obviously, now we're going to see, does he not hold Kim Lebe Derab Amine at all, or does he just not hold it when it comes to Mamon and Malkot, but he would hold it when it comes to death? Okay, the death maybe is great enough to override, but not this. So we'll see. E Rabbi Meir afilu bitonami. Now we have an it, right? If you're going to say that he doesn't hold Kim Lebe Derab Amine at all, well, the next Mishnah, which we haven't yet learned, lists, if you remember when we learned our Mishnah that says these are the people that have Knas, the next Mishnah lists all the people that don't have Knas. And what do we say? The Mishnah there is going to list people where it's Chayvei Mito Beitin, in which case there's no Knas because Kim Lebe Derab Amine, the Mavet Beitin, overrides the mamon. And that's why there's no knas. So if you're saying our mishnah is Rabbi Meir, you have to say the next mishnah is Rabbi Meir, and the next mishnah does hold kimle in a death case, right? But it does hold kimle, but the rabbi mine. So the chi tamer Rabbi Meir loke mishalim itle mate umishalim lately. And if you want to try to say, well, maybe he holds just by mamon and malkot, we don't hold kimle, but it could be mate umishalim that you could have. But he doesn't. He would hold kimle in a death case. But you can't say that. Why? Velo? You think he doesn't hold Meidu Mishalem? He doesn't, you think he holds the Kimle would apply in a death case? We can't say that. Why? The Hatanya. Okay, now we're going to have this case, okay, which is going to take us basically till the end of today. Ganav v'tavach. Okay, first we'll go over the case maybe for a minute. Okay, I'll read you the Pasuk. If you have the Torah or on the side, it's there. It's an Od Bet in mine. Ki yignov ish shor o seh. If you steal a shor or a seh, okay, an ox or a sheep, utvacho o mecharo, and either you slaughter it or you sell it, chamisha bakar yeshalem tachad ashor va'arba tzon tachad aseh. You have to pay not just kefel as in regular gneva case, but you have to pay 4 or 5 times the animal. Okay, there's a special knas in this case. Now, what did you do here? You sold it and you slaughtered it. Okay, so now, here's a braita that's going to prove that Rabbi Meir also doesn't hold kimle in a mate money case. What's the case? Ganav v'tavach b'shabbat. Here you have it, right? Here's our case number one. You steal this animal and then you slaughter it on Shabbat. Well, if you slaughter on Shabbat, you're chayav mavet of Shabbat, right? And you're chayav the gneva, right? So if you don't hold kimle, which we're going to try to show he doesn't hold, what's going to be the case here? You have to pay both. And that's what we're going to see. Ganav v'tavach l'avodat kochavim. Let's say you slaughter it in the name of Obed Kochavim, right? In order to worship it for Obed Kochavim or something like that. You're chayav mavet on that. Ganav shor haniskal. Okay, a shor haniskal is asur bahana. Okay, that's a shor that is supposed to get skila. Okay, that's a shor that attacked 3 times and you're supposed to killed 3 times, so you're supposed to kill you're supposed to stone the shor. After 3 times, I forget now the shor and iskal. Forget all the details of it. But anyway, a shor and iskal. Utvacho. Mishalem tashlumeir, b'ava chamisha. Direi Rabbi Meir. Okay, so Rabbi Meir holds, you still have to pay in these cases, okay? So now, chachamim potrim. Okay, that's the bright. So now we're first going to deal with Rabbi Meir, then we're going to get to chachamim. So how could it be if he holds that kimle, right? What do you see here? Kimle obviously doesn't apply at all. Because here you have both a case where you'd be obligated death and you'd be chayav to pay. So now they say, no, you misunderstood this case. This guy's not chayav because there's no din of kimle. This guy's not chayav for a different reason. Remember we saw before there were cases where kimle doesn't apply because either the chiyuv happened at a different time, right? There were 2 different moments or here we're going to see maybe there's 2 different people. Okay? It wasn't the same guy who did each one. So, ha'itmar ala, wasn't it said about this braita? Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'amri la Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Okay? That's who said it, we don't know, but they all said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan or in the name of Rish Lakish. Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Eli, v'chol chavruta mishmedu Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Now, even if Rish Lakish said it, they're going to say everybody said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. B'tovech al yedei achir. It's when somebody else slaughtered the animal. So now the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? If someone else slaughtered it, b'chi zech chotev v'zemet chayev, didn't we learn, ein shliach lidvar avera? If someone else does the tvicha, you're not chayev. He did it in the end. Okay? So Amar Rava, Amar Rachmana, utvacho o mecharo. Okay? What does it say? Utvacho, remember I read the pasuk. Either you slaughter it or you sell it. So now they make a comparison between the slaughtering and the selling. Ma mechira al yedei acher, af tvicha al yedei acher. This is not the most perfect comparison, but what do they say? To sell something, you need 2 people. You can't sell something without another person. So they say, just like the sale involves someone else, also the slaughter could involve someone else. It's interesting here, what's part of the problem with tvicha or mechira? If you steal something and then someone else slaughters it, and you say, ein shliach lidvar avera, that person might not have any idea that you stole it. He might not think he's doing anything wrong. You bring it to the shochet shechs it, You're going to say he's responsible, right? He didn't know. You didn't tell him this is a stolen item. So it makes sense that in this kind of a case, you would say that tibicha al yidei acher is still your responsibility because you just made sure the last stage happened. It doesn't matter whether you were the guy who did the last act. You made the... So what are they saying? They say, b'tovayach yidei acher, what's the issue? That then... Kimle, b'deravamine, can't apply because who's the guy who's obligated for slaughtering on Shabbat? The shochet. And who's the guy who's chayav in the gnevu tvicha? The robber. So that's why there's no kimle here. But in a regular case, there would be kimle, and that's our answer. So in the end, we say Rabbi Meir could, you know, it's definitely, this brayta doesn't prove that Rabbi Meir doesn't hold kimle in a mavet case. Because this case is b'tovayach yidei acher. That's what they're saying right now. Okay, now we're going to see two other sources. So Rava brought one reason, which is Tfachol Macharo, which teaches you the even al Yidei Shaliach. Now we're going to have two other drashot that show that Tvicha could be al Yidei Acher and you'd still be Chayav. Okay, Tana Deber Rabbi Yishmael Tana. It could have just said Utvacho Umacharo, and you would have understood it's either or. So why does it say the word O? L'rabot et ha-shaliach, that includes a shaliach. And to bechizki atana, tachat, l'rabot et ha-shaliach. It says, chamisha bakar yishalem, tachat ha-shur. It could have just said, chamisha bakar yishalem, bishur, because of the shur. Okay, it didn't need to say tachat. Tachat means someone who's tachtecha, right? Someone who comes in your place is also, you be chayav just as much. Okay, so three different ways about how we know that if a shaliach does the tvicha, you would still be chayav. Okay. Now we're going to have a question on this. Matkeflam arzutra mi ikamidi di ilu avad ihu lo mechayev v'avad shaliach u mechayev ihu. In other words, he says this is a ridiculous thing. If you did this yourself, you wouldn't be chayev to pair ba'av chamisha. But now that you add a shaliach to it, you're now going to be chayev more, right? Generally, having a shaliach does it patras you, right? Because the shaliach's responsible. In this case, we're going to say you're responsible even though there's a shaliach. But we're going to make you more responsible now because there's a shaliach?
Because you're making him sin, do a sin that he's not aware of.
Arguably, you brought somebody else into the picture.
The guy who you brought in is now chayav mavet, right?
But what happens if he doesn't know
But you're chayav arba ava chamisha and this to be chayav mechira. But if you yourself sorted it on Shabbat, it was chayav mavet, you'd be patra from tashlumin. Something not right about that. So what are the answers? It's a pretty decent answer, which is lav mishum de lo mechayev. It's not that you're not chayev. You are chayev, but ela mishum de kimle b'derabba minei. In other words, how does kimle b'derabba minei work? It's true that if you did this yourself, you'd be putcher from the money. But that's because you're not really putcher from the money. You're chayev in the money. But since you have the mita overwhelming that, it's basically... you're exempt from it. It's always the way you look at exemptions. It's almost like when we saw Tuma, Hutra, Betzibor. Is it Nitzchet or is it Hutra? Does it disappear totally? No, it's not that your Chiyuv Mamon disappears totally. Your Chiyuv Mamon is always there. Your Chiyuv to pay Arba Ava Chamisha. Just there are certain situations, technically speaking, that if you end up with a Chiyuv Mamon on you, well, then you're not going to have to pay it. It's pushed aside. Okay? But it's still there. So therefore, if you end up without the Chiyuv Mamon, well, that Chiyuv Mamon is still there, and therefore it comes into play. Okay, that's how we understand. Now they're going to say, okay, now go back to this whole Braita. The Braita said, right now, all we dealt with was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said, you're Pacha, why? Because, what did we say? It's Tovayach HaYidei Acher, and because someone else did it, well, they're Chai of the Mavet, and you're then Chai of the money. But what about Chachamim? Chachamim Potrim. Why are they Poter in this case? There's no Kimle, right? We just explained, there is no Kimle. So why would Chachamim say, you're Pator? So now they say, my time, I owe to Rabbi Nanda Patre. So they answer, man chachamim Rabbi Shimon. He holds like Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon? Damar, shchita she'ena re'uya lo shmei shchita. Okay, remember our pasuk. The pasuk says, tavach, right? V'tavach, right? He has to steal and then slaughter. Well, in order for him to be obligated in slaughter, it has to be considered a slaughter. Now, what case is not considered slaughter according to Rabbi Shimon? There's a machloket about this, but that's what they say. Chachamim must hold like Rabbi Shimon, who says that if you shech something not in a proper manner, okay, for example, you shecht in a way that is usur to shecht, like on Shabbat, it's asur to do shchita, or maybe we should leave out the Shabbat case for right now. Forget Shabbat. Okay? But let's say you shecht an animal for avodah zarah purposes. That's not a shechita ru'uya. You shecht a shorin iskal. Anything. Okay, we're going to start with those two because those are the easier ones to understand. Avodah zarah and shor haniskal are asr bahana. Now, what does it mean they're asr bahana? You can't get any benefit from them. You can't sell them to anyone. You can't sell them to a non-Jew. You can't give them to your dog to eat. Asr bahana at all. Once they're asr bahana, it's as if they don't exist. So if you shecht something that doesn't exist, that's not considered shechita. So if you stole this animal and it became, let's say, I don't know whether it was a shor haniskal before or it became a shor haniskal toch kedei, or you decide as you're slaughtering it, I'm slaughtering it to avodah zarah. Well, basically, that's not considered a shechita. So you're not chayev on ganava tavach, because the tavach is chaser. Okay? And that's what chachamim say, in this case, you're pater from the extra payments, because there is no tvicha. Okay? It's just not tvicha. And that's what chachamim say, you're pater. Okay? They hold like Rabbi Shimon, not everyone agrees with Rabbi Shimon. That's why Rabbi Meir holds your chayev, because he doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon. But chachamim say, we hold like Rabbi Shimon, the shechita she'enu ruya lo shma shechita. So they say, okay, so remember, there were three cases. There was Shabbat. Okay, I'm going to erase this right now. We had the Shabbat case. We had the Avodah Zarah case. And we had the Shor HaNiskal case. Okay? So, to say that Shechita She'en Ruyu Lo Shma Shechita works very well for the Avodah Kochavim and Shor HaNiskal. HaTinach Avodah Kochavim B'Shor HaNiskal. Because they are Asr V'Hana. Ela Shechitat Shabbat Shechita Ru'uyehi. But Shechitat Shabbat is considered a Shechita Ru'uya. How do we know? And what does that mean, it's Shechita Ru'uya? Let's say you shecht it on Shabbat. So obviously you can't eat it on Shabbat, but maybe you can eat it after Shabbat. Now, it's not like you have to throw away the animal. Okay, you didn't isra on Shabbat, or maybe yes, we'll see. Okay, ditznan. Hashochet b'Shabbat u'b'yom ha'kippurim, af al pi shemitchayev b'nafsho shechitato k'shera. Okay, here's a mishnah that says it explicitly. If you're shochet on Shabbat or Yom Kippur, yes, it's true you're chayev mavet, but your shechita happens to be a good shechita. Okay, you say this was a kosher shechita. So tomorrow, someone can eat it. Okay? Now we're going to see an interesting machloket about this. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says, the Stam Mishnah. But now we're going to see that not everyone agrees. So what do they answer? No, because Savar La, okay, so now we have to explain Rabbanan, who held like Rabbi Shimon, right, and listed these three, right, and said in all three cases you're pater. When it came to these two, so it's Isra B'Hana, it's very easy. When it came to Shabbat, well, what's the answer? It's not Isra B'Hana, you can eat it tomorrow. So what's the reason? So they say, Savralak Rabbi Yochanan Asandar, who actually holds that there's Isra Hana'a by Shechita. Now we're going to see a very interesting three machloket, very relevant for Hilchot Shabbat. Detanya Hamevashel b'Shabbat b'Shogeg. Let's say you cook on Shabbat accidentally. Okay, but obviously we're going to make a comparison here to Mevashel and Shochet. Okay, it's any malacha you do here. If you're Mevashel on Shabbat b'Shogeg, Yochal, you can eat it. Okay, presumably even on Shabbat. If you accidentally cook something on Shabbat, you can eat it. B'mezid lo yochal. But if it's b'mezid, then you can't eat it. Okay, it's unclear here. Okay, Rashi says, b'shoge yochal afilu bo bayom, and b'mezid lo yochal, hu le'olam, aval acherim yisraelim ochlim. Okay, according to Rabbi Meir, this is Divrei Rabbi Meir, you can't ever eat it, okay? But if you did it b'mezid, but other people can eat it tomorrow. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, remember, we're looking for Rabbi Yochanan Sanla. We haven't gotten to him yet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shogeg ye'achel l'motzei Shabbat. You can eat it on Motzei Shabbat. B'mezid lo ye'achel olamit. Okay, now, also here, Rashi says only he can't eat olamit, but everyone else can eat it after Shabbat. By the way, there's a halacha, it doesn't say it here. It's b'chdei she'yasu. Have you ever heard that term? B'chdei she'yasu. It's very relevant. Like, if you do something on Shabbat, and it's usher for you to do it on Shabbat, or someone else does, you can't get benefit until the amount of time it would take for you to do it after Shabbat. So let's say shechita takes 2 minutes, so 2 minutes after Shabbat, right? If you didn't have the animal, you had to trap the animal and then shecht it, well then it would be, you know, a longer process. Okay, like for example, this is very relevant, if you want to listen to the news right after Shabbat. Okay, you want to go on the Israeli news, that is information that was taken, right? That was people were Mechal Shabbos to get that information. So there's a bit of a question, what you do, or can you read the internet, like Haaretz or Jerusalem Post or something like that after Shabbat? Mm-hmm. It's a question. In other words, that's malacha that was done on Shabbat. Can you get benefit from it? There's a lot of interesting questions that relate to this. Rabbi Yochanan Hassan Laromer, b'shogeg yachel l'motzei Shabbat, la'achirim v'lo lo. Okay, he's got the most machmir position. He says, if you do it b'shogeg, you can eat it motzei Shabbat for others, but you cannot. Okay? Even b'shoge, you can't ever eat that food. U'b'mezid, lo ye'achel olamit, lo lo, v'lo la'acherim. Okay? That's why Rashi seemed to imply the earlier things must have thought acherim, yes. Right? Even though it didn't say. So he has this position, it's aser bahana. So now, right, if you do it b'mezid on Shabbat, it's aser bahana, and then it becomes exactly like those other categories. Okay? And now we understand why the tvicha would not be considered a shchita at all, because this shchita is no good, because this shchita can never be used for anything. Okay. So now they say, my time at Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar, what's his opinion? What's it based on? K'didarish Rabbi Chia, apitcha di b'nesia, u'shmartem et ha-shabbat ki kodesh ilachem. Ma kodet, okay, so the rest of that pasuk is important. It doesn't say it here, but u'shmartem et ha-shabbat ki kodesh ilachem, mechalaleha mot yumat. Okay, those who desecrate the Shabbat get killed. Ma kodesh, now what do they say? It's kodesh. What's kodesh? Kodesh is like hekdesh. What do we know about Hekdesh? Something given to the Beit HaMikdash is Asur Bahana'a. So, Ma Kodesh Asur Ba'achila, Ach Maaseh Shabbat Asurim Ba'achila. Okay, that's how he learns it. It says in the Pasuk, keep Shabbat because it's Kodesh, meaning if you desecrate the Shabbat, then any Ma'asim that come out of your desecration are going to be like Hekdesh, in which case they're Asur Bahana'a. Okay. Ima Kodesh Asur Bahana'a, Ach Maaseh Shabbat Asur Bahana'a. Okay, that's the continuation. Talmud, sorry. Now they say no. So if Kodesh is Asur Bahana'ah, then Af Maaseh Shabbat should be Asur Bahana'ah. But now we're going to see, notice I forgot one point. It's not Asur Bahana'ah like the other cases. It's a little different. Why? Because it's Asur Bahana'ah only to Jews, right? Notice that, right? It didn't say to non-Jews, whereas the first category of Avodah Zarah and Shor Niskal is Asur Bahana'ah to anybody. So now they say, well, why wouldn't, just like Kodesh is Asher Bana'ah to anyone, why wouldn't Maaseh Shabbat be Asher Bana'ah even to non-Jews? Talmud Lomar, what does the Pasuk say? Ki Kodesh hi lachem. Shelachem yehei. Okay? Just for you. Yachol afilu b'shogeg. So now what if you do it b'shogeg? So where they say, no, Talmud Lomar, mechalaleha motumat. Right? B'mezid amar tilacha, velo b'shogeg. Okay? Mechalaleha is someone who desecrates it. You can only desecrate something if you do it purposely. Okay, therefore, they understand this pasuk can't be referring to shogeg. So shogeg, there's no isur hana. Mezid, there would be. Pligeba. Now we're going to have a machloket on this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Asandlar. Okay, how severe? Pligeba Rav Acha v'Ravina. Charamar maaseh Shabbat de'oraita v'charamar de'rabanan. There's a machloket about whether we understand that this isur to be a de'oraita isur or a de'rabanan isur. Okay, if you shecht an animal, or you cook food on Shabbat, according to Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who says this is forbidden, Isra Ba'anel for Jews forever, is that an Isra Doraita or is it an Isra Doraban? Okay, so now it's going to be very relevant to us. Why? Okay, Manda Amar Do. So first we want to know where you get it from, that it's Doraita Dorabana. So Doraita is very obvious. We just learned it from a Pasuk, right? Manda Amar Doraita Kidamaran, like we just said. Manda Amar Dorabanan Amar Kra, the Pasuk says Kodeshi. What is Kodesh? Shabbat it's referring to. It never says in the Pasuk it's referring to Maaseh Shabbat. Shabbat itself is Kodesh. He Kodesh. Ve'ein Maaseh HaKodesh. But things that are done on Shabbat doesn't mean they're Kodesh. And it's just an Isra D'Rabbanan. In other words, they drop it a level. They say, yeah, it's true Midoraita. It says it's Kodesh. But that means Shabbat itself is Kodesh. The D'Rabbanan come and say, we're going to darsh into there, though, just like it's Kodesh, we're going to say also Ma'aser Kodesh, things that you do on Shabbat are Kodesh. Okay? Ulamanta. Okay, so there's a Machlokes D'Rabbanan D'Oraita. Do we learn it directly from the Pasuk, you know, Mamash D'Oraita? Or is it connected to the Pasuk, but not really, right? We've seen this before, Asmachta. Kind of connects to the Pasuk, but it's not that they learn it directly from the Pasuk. Okay, so now we're going to have a question, though. Let's go back. Where were we? Okay, let's try to remember. We had a Machloket, Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, about these three cases, right? These three cases, Shabbat, Avodah Zarah, Shor HaNiskal, Rabbi Meir said you're chayav. Okay, why are you chayav to pay Arba'a v'chamisha? Because there's no, right, because it's Toveach al Yidei Acher, right? Someone else did the Tficha, and therefore he was chayav the Mavet, and you were chayav on the Gneva. So you're chayav to pay on the Gneva. Wait one second, am I saying that right? Right, Toveach HaYidei Acher, and therefore you're Chayev the Arba'a v'Chamisha, Right? That's what the chayav is, your chayav the arba b'chamisha, because someone else did the tficha, meaning you sent a shaliach to do the tficha, you're responsible for the tficha, but you're not chayav the aver of Shabbat, that he shechted it on Shabbat. Okay, so you don't have the kimle. Right, you follow? Should I repeat it? Ganav v'tabach, you need to have both in order to be mechayav arba b'chamisha. You have both because you sent someone else to do it, and we learned three different drashot that taught us that even if you send a shaliach to do it, you're still chayav. So you're chayav on gneva v'tficha, but you're not chayav on the fact that they shechted it on Shabbat. That's their problem. They're chayav mavet, you're not chayav mavet. Okay, they chose to do it on Shabbat. You didn't tell them go do it on Shabbat. That's, and even if you did tell them to do it on Shabbat, he should have been smart enough not to do it on Shabbat. That's his problem. You're all, right, only the gneva v'tficha you're responsible for. The fact of when he did it and whether he was chayav mavet when he did it, that's his problem. That's Rabbi Meir, and that's where they're chayav. Why are Chachamim poter? And this is the important part for now. Chachamim are potrim because they say there was no tficha at all. So you're not chayav arba b'chamisha because you're missing the tficha part. Why are you missing the tficha part? Because it's a shlita she'ena ruya. So if you say avodah zarah shorin is kal, it's esrabana, there's no object anymore. You're shechting something that's shabbat efes, right? It's not worth anything. That's not a shlita. Shabbat, we're also going to say if you do it on Shabbat, it's esrabana. But that only works if you say it's esrabana midoraita. If you say that this whole halacha of Shabbat, of being Asr Bana, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar is, remember, this is only according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar. If you say it's only Durabanan, well then, you have a Doraita of Ganav V'Tabach. Mi Doraita, your Shechit is a good Shechit, it's only Mi Durabanan, it's not. So that's what they're going to ask now. Ulaman Amar Durabanan, my time I Durabanan DePatre. Ki Kapatre Rabbanan Ashara. When Chachamim said Patre, they didn't mean on the Shabbat case. They only meant from Avodah Zarah and Niskal. Okay? Shor and Niskal. They weren't referring to the first case. Okay? It's like a Mishnah. The Braita has three cases. Rabbi Meir says on all three cases, you're Chayav. Chachamim or Potrim only on the second two cases. That's what you would have to say. Okay? It's not a great answer because it's not exactly a great setup for the Braita to do that, but that's the only way they can explain. Okay? But again, it's only according to the Mandamra that it's Drabbanan. Okay. Now, we're going to ask some problems about the Toveach Lavodat Kochavim. Toveach Lavodat Kochavim, why is there a din of...
why couldn't they go according to the opinion that said Rabbi... There was a dispute over whether Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar was Doret to Drabanan. Was it conclusive? So why couldn't they just...
Oh, they could just say he holds like it's Drabanan?
No, that it heals Rabbi Yochanan. The interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandlar is Doret, and therefore it all fits.
No, because there's a machloket about... Because there's a machloket by Amoraim about what he meant. Was he talking Doret to Drabanan? So the ones who hold Drabanan, how would they explain this? They still have to explain the Brayta here. So they have to answer... If a Doraita fits, right. But then how could someone even say it's Drabanan because it doesn't work in with this? That's the issue. Okay, this has to be explained. When Amoraim come and explain Tanaitic opinions, they have to work. We have to assume that they thought of everything. Now, you could say they just didn't...
Right. That they're wrong.
Right. You could say that. But since there are two opinions that exist about it and no one knocked anyone down, it could be the Gemara could have said, oh, we reject you because of this. But the Gemara went in a different... Right? They assumed that it was okay, that the opinion could stand... And therefore, they said, we must be where, right? Maybe we can understand the Braita differently. But you're right, you could take that approach. Okay, so now we're going to have a question on Toveach Lavodat Kochavim. Kevan de Shacha Peipurta Itaserle. Itaserle. Okay, as soon as you start shechting this animal, okay, Lavodah Zarah, it becomes immediately Aser Bahana, the second you start the Shechita. But Idach, Ki katavach la lamare katavach. Now, when you shecht it, okay, the shaliach. Remember, the shaliach's doing the right. He sends someone else to do the tficha. As soon as he starts the shechita, he doesn't finish it, right? When are you chayav on ganav tavach? At the end of the shechita, right? When you finish shechting it. When are you chayav on avodah zarah? When you start the shechting process. As soon as you start shechting something l'shem avodah zarah, it's immediately asher bahana. So at that point, you're shechting a nobody animal, right? A nothing animal. So at that point, there shouldn't even be a gneva, the tficha here. Because the tficha, again, according to Rabbi Meir, now this is a question. How could Rabbi Meir Machayev, if as soon as you start shechting it, it's already forbidden, it's already asr ba'ana. Forget about shechita she'ena ruya, right? But right, I think, one second, as you would say this, even if it's not shechita she'ena ruya, I think, one second. Right. It's a question on Shita Rabbi Meir. How could he be Mechayev Arba V'Chamisha If as soon as you started shechting it, it's already going to be not belonging to anybody. There's already no ownership on it. So now what do they answer? Amarava be'omer b'gmar zvicha hu avda. Okay, what does it mean? It means when you shecht it, you don't say in the beginning of the shechita, I'm offering it to Avodah Zarah. You only say it when you're done. Or you say in the beginning, when it finishes shechting, I'm going to offer it to Avodah Zarah. In which case, right, we want to find a case where when he shechted it, it still belonged to the original, right, to the guy who stole it, basically. Okay? Shor haniskal lav didehu dekatava. Shor haniskal, the same thing. He's not shechting his own animal, right? It doesn't belong to him. A shor haniskal, again, is a non-existent animal. It's basically like Ephes, okay? So now we're going to show a case. This is an interesting one. Where it's really not Shaveh entirely Ephes, okay? This sure has some value to it. What's going to be the case? Amarava hacha b'maya skinan. Okay, again, we're going to get into weird ukimto. In order to make this make sense, we have to say it happened in a strange case. Kegon shemisaro l'shomer. He gave this animal to a shomer. Behezik b'beit ha-shomer. And this animal became a shor haniskal once it was in the ownership of the shomer. Okay? While the shomer had it, the animal went out and damaged, you know, killed someone. V'nigmar dinei b'beit ha-shomer. And then there was gmar din while it still belonged to the shomer. They took the shor to court, right? They took the guy to court, about the shomer to court about this animal. U'gnavo ganav mi'beit shomer. And then it gets stolen from his house, okay? From the shomer's house. V'rabbi Meir sever lach rabbi Yaakov sever lach rabbi Shimon. Okay, now we have to see what this is. Sever lach rabbi Yaakov in one machloket why de amar af mi shenigmar dino hichziro shomer leba'alav muchzar. According to Rabbi Yaakov, okay, not everyone agrees with this, but let's say I'm watching over your animal, and the shor becomes a shor niskal, and we go to court, and the court says it's shor niskal, so what do we say? It's shaveh efes, right? It's as if it doesn't exist. But if you say, I want my animal back, right, or you don't even ask for it back, I give it back to you, so while it's true it's not shaveh anything, but, okay, well, let's take the first case. Let's say we kill the shor, right? Let's say they're so killed the shore. So what do I have to do? I have to pay you the value of the shore, right? To give, because you gave me your shore. I was watching your shore. Now I have to give you back the value of your shore once they killed it. My responsibility, right? But if we haven't killed the shore yet, and I give you back your shore, even though he's worth nothing, he's still a shore. I can say, look, this is the shore you gave me. I'm giving it back to you as is. Yes, it's true that technically speaking, he has a, you know, he's supposed to get killed, but this is a shore. According to Rabbi Yaakov, I can return you that actual shor. In which case, that shor has a monetary value to it, because I can give it back and not have to pay you the money. So while it's true it's not worth anything, I'm actually allowed to return it to you. If I give you the exact, and I can't give you a different one, but if I give you the exact shor you gave me, I can say, look, this is the shor you gave me, I'm giving it back, right? And sort of say, I'm not 100% responsible, it was your shor, okay? So not everyone agrees with this, but that's Rabbi Yaakov's position. So if we say that, and then what do we have to say? We have to say one other thing. V'sever lach Rabbi Shimon. Ta'amar, davar ha'gorem le'mamon ke'mamon dame. Now, if I went to sell this in the shuk, I would get zero for it, right? But since I now don't have to pay money to you for the value of the shor, it's a davar ha'gorem le'mamon. In other words, it has monetary, I don't know how you would translate it exactly, but has monetary value to it, even though it doesn't really have monetary value. Has monetary relevance. That would probably be the word.
Significance,
yes, that's a better word. It has monetary significance, because I can return this and not have to pay you the money. So if you hold like Rabbi Yaakov, that I can actually return you the shor, and you hold like Rabbi Shimon, who says, a davar ha'gorem le'mamon is like mamon, then you can say, well, that's why he was toveach this shor haniskal, right? Which, even though it's worth nothing, it really has some monetary value. And therefore, we're going to consider you chayav, according to Rabbi Meir, in ganav v'tavach. Because even though you're shechting something that's zero, it does have some sort of monetary significance. Because it was in a case, you'd have to say, though, it's only in a case where it was given to the shomer and it was stolen from the shomer's house. That's what you would have to say, because only in a shomer case does this have any monetary value. Otherwise, it has zero monetary value. Okay, that's all if you're going to say that we said until now, that the case is toveach al yidei achir. Okay? Now, Rabbah's going to say, la'olam b'toveach al yidei atzmo. Okay? So now, what is he going to say? For Rabbi Meir, it is toveach yidei atzmo. Okay, so now what do we have to resolve? Why did Rabbi Meir say here that you're chayav? Right? Don't we say Kim Le B'Derabba Mine in a Mavet case? So now we didn't want to say that. We wanted to say that Rabbi Meir does hold Kim Le in a Mavet case. So we're going to say that. For Rabbi Meir, Loke Mishalim Ile, Medo Mishalim Leitle, meaning, right, you can be both Loke and Mishalim, but you can't be Mate and Mishalim. So why would you pay here? We're still left with that. Vishane Hane, these, Hane is Elu, and Shane is Shone. These cases are different. We're going to see what cases. Dechidushu, okay, but the first is our case. Dechidushu shechidshat Torah b'knas. It's a chiddush. Knas is different from mamun. Okay? We don't mate umishalem, but we are mate umishalem knas. Knas is different. Now, what's the knas here, right? We have tashlume ganav, which is you have to pay back what you stole. That's mamun. That part you might not be responsible for. But the arba'a v'chamisha, the extra, okay, that is a knas. And a knas you have to pay anyway. Okay? That's like a unique halacha in knasot. Okay, remember, what's the difference between a knas and mamon? Mamon is something you cause monetary loss to someone. You have to compensate them for their monetary loss. A knas is a fine. It's something above and beyond. So since it's above and beyond, maybe we could say it's above and beyond this din also of Kim Le B'Derabba Mine. A different category. So, now they're going to bring all sorts of cases where we see this. Okay? And therefore, so chiddush shechidshat Torah b'knas, af agav d'miktal, even though you get killed, also you're mishalim. Va'az de Rabba l'ta'ame. Rabba goes, he's consistent with his opinion. Da'amar, because he gives all these cases. Da'amar Rabba. Haya gdi ganuvlo. Let's say he had a gdi that was stolen, that he had stolen already. And then, before Shabbat, okay? Utvacho b'Shabbat. And then he shechs it on Shabbat. So what do we say? Chayav. Shekfar nitchayev b'gneva kodem sheyavo lidei yisur Shabbat. This goes back to things we learned earlier in Kimle, right? That if it didn't happen all at the same time, then, so here the Geneva happened earlier, and then the Isur Shabbat happened. So the Geneva, where you have to return the stolen item, that happened immediately, right? Ganav v'tavach, you have to remember. Ganav v'tavach, the tavach adds the extra payments of the arba v'chamisha, right? But, right, obviously it's not arba v'chamisha, it's like three and four, right? Because it's the first one is the actual thing. So you're chayv in the geneva, which you'd actually be chayv, it's even less. You're actually chayv geneva plus kefel, immediately. Because every time you steal, you're chayv pishnayim. So you'd be chayv the geneva and the kefel immediately. Then when you shecht it, right, then you become responsible for the extra stuff. So now, if you're chayv the geneva first, and legitimate because it wasn't on Shabbat, you weren't, there was no greater avera. So then you're chayv in the geneva immediately. And then the tvicha adds the extra arba'a v'chamisha. And then the tvicha happens on Shabbat. Do we say kimle? No, because the geneva you already chayiv in, that plus the kefel, and the arba'a v'chamisha is knas. And the arba'a v'chamisha is going to happen even if you're chayiv death. You follow? So the moment you stole it, you were chayiv the first two. The rest, you were chayiv when you shechted it. When you shechted it, it was Shabbat. You're chayiv mavet. But according to Rabba, you're also chayiv the extra now to get you up to arba'a v'chamisha because of that. Okay? Because there's no such p'tor for knas. Okay. Shekvar nitchayiv gneva kodem shevo lidei yisur Shabbat. Okay. Ganav v'tavach b'Shabbat, but if you did it all on Shabbat, p'tor. Shim ein gneva, ein tvicha ve'ein mechira. Okay? If your gneva already is going to be canceled out, right? You don't even have the first two, right? The ganav, the gneva and the... This, you would have to say, this has to work with our other sugya, where the geneva happened at the exact moment, right, like he dragged it, and he wasn't magbi until he got to Rashid Arabim, and then he was chayav on hotza'ah at the same time, right, and the shechita, all of that happened on Shabbat, and therefore you're patur bichlal, okay? You're totally patur, because if there's no geneva, well then there's no tvicha o mechira, okay? I'm a rabbi. Here's another case of rabbi. Hayag di ganuvlo, utvacho b'machteret. Okay, here we have to learn a whole thing about machteret. I don't know if you know this or not. If you rob in a basement, okay, now there's all different interpretations. We'll get to in Sanhedrin. What does machteret mean? Does it mean a basement? Does it mean you came at night when you were expecting that the owners are home in the house and therefore they might come to kill you? If you do a robbery in a way that you think someone's going to come to kill you, okay, therefore the assumption is that nobody just lets you steal their money without fighting, okay, without a fight. So therefore, what's the assumption? If you go into that person's house in a way that they're around and might come to attack you, then you're already coming al inyanei mavet. Okay? And therefore, if that person kills, if the owner of the house kills you, he's patur from mavet. In other words, he's not, it's basically like self-defense. The assumption is you're coming to kill him, therefore he's protecting himself from you killing him. And therefore, you're, and then it's a really interesting halacha. At the moment that you're in the house robbing, okay, in the machteret, let's say, you are, it's as if you have like a chiyuv beitin of mavet on you. Okay, this, by the way, there's two different ways of understanding this whole sugya. It's, again, we don't have a lot of time, but it's just really interesting. The question is, when you're allowed to kill him, is it like you can take the law into your own hands and the law says this guy's high of mavet right now? Or is it just self-defense and we're letting you kill him? Now, this sugya approaches it as if you have a chiyuv mavet beitin on you at that moment. Now, it's only at that moment. As soon as you leave the house, you're clearly not going to kill the guy anymore. So, therefore, there's no chiyuv mavet on him. But at that moment, there's chiyuv mavet on him. And therefore, if the owner of the house kills him, he's allowed to kill him. Because the assumption is he's coming to kill. Okay? He wants your money so bad, he's willing to kill for it. So, at that moment, he's chiyuv mavet, but only while he's in the machteret. So, let's say you were robbing houses that night, okay? You stole this animal from someone. It's still, you're holding it while you go into the next house, okay? So you already stole it before. And now, here, hayagdi ganuvlo, okay? Utvacho b'machteret. And while he was in the next guy's basement stealing, in a way that he's chayav mavet, okay? Chayav. Okay, so now, he's chayav, why? Shekvar nitchayev b'gneva kodim sheyavo lidei yisur machteret. Okay, if it was just that he, right, in the other case, we'll see it right now, ganavu tabach b'machteret, if he did it while he had chiyuv mavet on his head, right, he did it both acts, well then he's patur. Shim ein gneva ein tvicha ve'ein mechira. Okay, because the gneva would be canceled out. This, by the way, is a little bit different, I think it's a bit of a different approach than earlier in the studio when we saw that kimlei means, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist, right, here it's as if, once kimlei applies, your chayav mavet because of machteret, or your chayav mavet because of Shabbat, is as if the gneva didn't happen, right? It's saying like we erase the gneva.
Because you're going to die.
Earlier we kind of said that it's just put aside, right? So here you can see there's different perspectives of how to read this all. Just like I said with the machteret, there's different perspectives. Is it looked at as a court halacha of your chayav mavet, or is it looked at as a self-defense? This sugya clearly looks at it as it's a court, right? So I want to show you here, just in terms of methodology, that certain sugyot have certain undercurrent tones about it, right? We saw this with, why am I forgetting? I was about to think of something. We saw it with, let's go even way back to sukkah, with the rishuyot. Is it a din of machitza, the wall, or is it a din of, right? Well, I'm totally blanking right now. But it was like a way of viewing it. Is a wall like a machitza, or is it a way of what are the two approaches?
So
why am I totally forgetting?
Whether it's a makom kavua, or whether or not it's temporary or permanent.
Right. Keva and arai was constantly like different sugyo lean different directions about it. Okay, so now what? Yeah. Right. That's I guess what I was thinking of. Eruvin, the machitza, or is it a siman like a heker?
Right.
That was
heker,
it.
Right.
Machitza or a heker? Okay, we saw in Yevamot also, I'm blanking now, where about, oh, Zika. Is there Zika or ain't Zika? Like, how much is it because there's Zika or because you're supposed to do it? Like, there were different approaches and different sugyot that did it. So it happens a lot here. This is another one. Okay, so here we saw it in two things. We saw it in the machteret, how you view the machteret, and we saw it also in how you view this din of kimlei. Does it bypass it, right? Is it eliminated, the first avera, or is it there but covered up kind of thing? Okay, so now we're going to say, why do you need both these cases? Okay, why did Rebbe need to teach it both in the machteret and in the ganavat tavach? Utzricha. Di'iash me'inan Shabbat, mishum di'isura isur olam. You might say, oh, Shabbat, this is, right, he's chayav mavet now forever. Once you're over a malacha on Shabbat, right, you're chayav mavet. Ava machteret, di'isur sha'ahu, emalau. Machteret, you were only chayav mavet for that moment. So maybe you wouldn't think it's the same. Right, because chayav mavet is much stronger. Chiyuv mavet from Shabbat. V'iyash me'in ha-machteret, but machteret has another chumrah. What's the chumrah of machteret? Mishum, here we go back to our hatra'ah, which keeps coming up. Mishum de machterto zohi hatra'ato. In the din of machteret, it's like edim zomimim. There's no need for hatra'ah. Okay? It's when you come in as a robber, you don't need hatra'ah in that case. Again, this would also, If it's not a chiyuv of Beit Din, well, maybe you don't need hatra. In other words, it again gets to the core of what's around. Is this a chiyuv of Beit Din or is it self-defense? If it's self-defense, obviously you don't need hatra. You don't need to warn someone, well, you know. Okay? Demachterto zoi hatra'ato. Aval Shabbat, buy a hatra'a, aim alo. Right? You say, oh, well, this is more chamor, machteret, because it doesn't even have hatra'a. Shricha. Okay. I think we'll stop here for today, and we'll try to catch up tomorrow. Tomorrow's daf is kind of on the shorter side. It also starts, I mean, it's similar, but it's a bit of a new topic, and it continues from there. So, stop here for today. We'll pick up tomorrow.